Lord, we just praise your name. Glory be to your name, Lord. Lord, I don't know what's fixing to happen other than what you've showed us in your word, in the dreams and stuff. Looks like a lot of stuff is fixing to happen. I thank you, Father, for getting us all ready for this time. Thank you, Lord, for blessing us tonight with your presence and your leading and your guidance tonight, Lord. And I thank you for it, Father. I thank you, Lord, that you're going to bless everybody here tonight. Just let your glory fall down on us, Lord. I'm asking that in the name of Jesus. Because we all need some encouragement every now and then. And I thank you for it, Father. I thank you, Lord, for these wonderful days you've given us. It was a wonderful day today. And thank you for answering all of our prayers, too, Father. In the name of Jesus. Lord, give us revelations into your word today. Let the things that you want come forth, Lord, not what we want. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. Anybody got a prayer request? Okay, Missy, go ahead.
My daughter-in-law, Brooke, which is my son, Kurt's wife, she texted me the other day and kind of surprised me about something she texted me, but she said, basically the gist of what she said was, is that they were trying to, have a baby, you know, and she said, you know, say a little prayer, you know, for them, you know. And so I thought I'd, you know, get you all to join in saying a prayer for them. You know, they want to start a family. So, and I want a grandbaby so bad.
Amen. They are wonderful.
I just love kissing babies. Anyway, so Father, I just ask you, Lord, to just bless them with a child, Lord. Here very quickly, I ask in Jesus' name, you know, they've been married now going on 6 years. July will be 6 years. And Father, but Lord, I just ask you to put in their hearts a soberness about it and know that they can't be the parents that they need to be without you. And that they just really turn their life over to you, Lord, in a great way and just choose to follow you and be Christ-like and set an example for any children that they have, Lord, and that they can bring them up in the love and admonition of you, Lord, and just greatly bless them. Just bless them mightily, Lord. Thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name.
Amen. Bless Missy with a little grand boy.
No, girl. Girl. I'm done with the boy thing.
Oh, man. Okay. All right. Lord, bless her with a little granddaughter. Little precious thing.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord. It's done. Are they Christian, Missy?
Brooke is. And she's tried to, you know, seek the Lord, but, you know, now that she's taught full time this year, just this year temporarily, trying to get a permanent position, you know, it's hard when you have a full-time job like that and, you know, trying to balance, you know, school stuff and also, you know, trying to seek the Lord. But when I text her back the other day, it was just like, I text her back, you know, all this stuff and, you know, And I told her, you know, seek the Lord with all your heart and bring your children up in the Lord. And that, all that kind of thing. And I told her, you know, make the Lord first every day and read the word and, you know, you'll hear his voice because, you know, he only speaks what's in his word. According to his word, you know, everything that he says is according to his word. But anyway, so she, you know, she appreciates that. So we have a good relationship. We can really talk about, you know, she's really open to hear what I have to say and all, when I get the opportunities. And Kurt, he, you know, I've told her, you know, don't push him, just pray for him. I said, you know, he'll come, he'll get on base, you know, he'll, you know, but don't push, you know, don't pressure him or anything. You know, he has a good heart, you know, but, you know, like most kids their age, I mean, Kurt's 29 and Brooke's 27. And, you know, there's so much in the world, like most Christians, period, you know. Anyway, but so I'm just believing that, you know, especially with things, you know, we're believing are going to happen here soon. It's going to get a lot of people's attention. I'm going to get them really serious with the Lord. And so, amen.
I believe it. Lord, we thank you for working in their lives when this baby comes. In Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. Thank you.
All right. Anyone else? Anybody got a testimony? Yeah, go ahead, Diane.
My husband and I were trying to figure something out the other day. You know how you get those deals in the mail where if you change banks, they give you $150 and you have to figure out if you save on groceries or gas or this or that. And so we have a pretty good deal with our bank, but it was, you know, we thought, oh, maybe we should consider it since they're going to give us $150 to try it out. And so we spent all this time going through all our records for the last 6 months and what we saved on groceries and gas and this and that. And we were just, it was getting to be overwhelming. And I could just sense myself. I was getting so frustrated. My husband's trying to explain stuff and he's a very, 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 gives long explanations. And I could just sense myself losing my joy and getting so frustrated. And all of a sudden, this thought came to me, Diane, you died. You're dead. The old Diane died. How could she get frustrated? You're a new creation in Christ. And I said, thank you, I am. And I just started praising the Lord and the frustration went away. And then it was funny because then I said, okay, Lord, I know you could do this and it can't be that difficult, right? So then I had the thought, just call the person on the back of your credit card and find out from her what the details are. So I made this call and it must have taken, you know, maybe 1 minute, maybe two at the most. And it was so easy. And I thought, Lord, we make everything so difficult, you know, but and he lets us go our way and try to figure it out and struggle and do all the work ourselves, right? And then when we give up and ask him, it just seems like, wow, that was really easy. So anyway, I just praise the Lord because he just puts up with us when we're foolish and just for his mercy in reminding us, you know, okay, devil, you're not taking my joy here. You know, how can a dead Diane, that old Diane that got frustrated, she died. She died 2,000 years ago. You're not taking my joy. So anyway, it might seem like a minor thing, but it was a big deal to me.
Amen. Yeah, absolutely. I agree. Thank you, Lord. When God makes it so easy for you, it is a good thing.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord. All right. Anybody else? Got a praise report, a prayer request? comment. Yeah, Leah.
My brother just called me. He lives about 3 hours away from here for everybody's edification. But it's his birthday coming up, and my uncle's birthday and my cousin's birthday, and they're having a dinner on Thursday night. So I'm thinking about going to that. I'll make up my mind tomorrow. But I just need some prayer for the traveling and the trip there and back and all that kind of stuff. So I'll pray, and if you want to pray, you can pray too. All right. Well, Lord, just thank you for this trip. I'm pretty sure I'm going, but you know, if you don't want me to, you can let me know. And I just praise you and thank you for the opportunity to go. And I pray that I have a good, safe trip, that my gas consumption would be smaller than normal because the prices are going up again, and that you would get me there safely and get me back safely. And just hold on to me while I'm there, Lord God, and don't let me get off into anything I shouldn't get into. So thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Lord, if you don't want him to go, shut the doors. But if you do, let him stay open. In Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Father.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord, for sending him there. If you're going to send him there safe and bring him back safe. In Jesus' name.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, sir.
Okay. I say iPad, Judy. Amen.
Hey, one other thing, Michael.
Sure.
Before we get started with, after we're doing the prayer and the testimonies, if I could speak about that verse that Missy brought up in Mark 6, where Jesus saw the disciples and he walked on the water. I got a little history thing I might want to share with everybody.
Yeah, that'd be fine. That'd be fun. Okay, anyone else? Yeah, Judy, go ahead.
Well, I'd like to pray for our wash machine. It's not working, and Matt and Leon have been working on it, and they're just not quite sure. So, Lord, I ask that since man can't seem to know what's wrong with it, we are asking you, and we should have asked you first. So, sorry. But, Lord, we ask you to fix this washing machine so that it works without any problems and that it's completely healed and we don't have any more trouble with it. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for all that you do.
What is it that's not working?
Well, Leon, help. What does it do? What doesn't it do?
No, what is it?
What is it?
Yeah, what is it? That's...
We have a stackable washing machine and dryer.
Oh, okay.
The tub. It's not agitating.
Not spinning.
Spin.
It agitates, but
won't spin. Yeah, they agitate me too, I tell you. Yeah.
We fixed a couple of things that were wrong, but we still didn't find out the full problem with it. So, yeah, I want to pray for that too. Lord God, just fix Judy and Sue's washing machine, Lord God. Maybe they can just run a quick load through it, and it'll start working fine. And in Jesus' name, it's healed.
Yes, Lord. Thank you.
Amen. 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 We command that washing machine to work like it did when it was new, in Jesus' name. You Amen. Can't do nothing else but that, because Amen. We are the children of God, And we're not under the curse. They're not under the curse. And we command that washing machine to wash like it's supposed to and agitate everybody around it. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Father.
Yes, thank you, Father.
Amen. Washing machine's kind of necessary, isn't it? And, I don't even know if you can even buy a washboard anymore.
Of course, I did get blessed when I went to the laundromat, but I'd really rather not do that all the time.
I hear you. Yeah, Denny, go ahead.
I'm muted, yeah. I know just before we came down here, probably, I don't know, how long was it? Maybe a couple of months before we came down here. Of course, we've been listening to the teachings and some of the miracles that David had. And, well, sure enough, our washing machine went out. And, I mean, dryer. I mean, I you know, tried it and I prayed over it. And then, you know, next day I tried again. And it finally got to the point where, well, I'm just going to have it looked at, have a service. So I tried it again that day. And then it was probably about a month or so. Anyway, so then I thought, all right, this is it. This is the last time. I'm going to do this one more time. And so I prayed and went down there. I was ready to, you know, walk back up the steps and call a guy. I hit the button, the thing comes on, you know. And it worked ever since that. So God did bless us with that.
Amen.
So, and I have another thing. We've been praying for our daughter, Victory. She had just heard from the courts that she will be getting child support. So it's going to be, I think, $830 a month. So that's going to help her a lot. And also, she's applying to get a different place to live where she would have some assistance financially. And it looks like it might go through. We're not sure yet, but she made the first hurdle or something. They sent her a letter back saying they're going to call her and have a phone interview. And then after that, bring her paperwork in. So we're just thanking the Lord. So we thank you, Father. We thank you for your blessing for Victory as we've been praying for her. And I know she sees your hand in this, Father. And I think she's starting to get it, Lord. And she's praying. And we thank you for that, God. And Lord, we pray for Junior, who has to pay this money now, that you would bless him, Lord. Bless him with a raise at work or more hours or whatever it takes so he's not being so upset. So just bless him, Lord. And we pray for his salvation. Grant him repentance, Father. We just thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. And also, she's, making preparations for the new baby, whereas a month ago she was talking about giving up the baby possibly. And now it's things of, so God just really is changing things in her. So, amen. Thank you, Lord.
That'll be a blessing to her, that baby will.
Yeah, amen.
Thank you, Lord. Okay. Anybody else?
Me again.
Okay, go ahead, me again.
Me again. Yeah, are we on testimonies or just prayer requests?
Whatever you want.
Okay, well, I have a testimony. I told you about the girl that I saw at the laundromat the other day. Well, she called me last night and said, you know, is this your prayer and worship time? I'd like to go with you. So she went with me and she enjoyed it and she's going to come back. So I thought that was really pretty awesome. She's got a beautiful voice. She's played the guitar and sang for it. So it was really a blessing to have her there. So thank you, Lord. Bring her back.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Okay. Anyone else? Yeah, Diane, go ahead.
I just wanted to apologize to all of you for last week. When Brother Pat was speaking about this testimony about the sieve, I just felt the urging to speak, and I hesitated and didn't speak, and then I felt later that the Lord was not happy with that. So I wanted to just reassure him, He just said he didn't know why he threw that testimony out there, but it was, I don't know who else it was directed at, but the Lord needed me to hear that, because in my searching for like the perfect church, like he was searching for the perfect group or whatever, I sensed in the last several years, I kept the thing, I don't want to say it frustrated me or disillusioned me, but it just, it concerned me, was the fact of the faith issue, the faith issue. And I would keep thinking about Missy over the years, but Missy would keep coming back to me because she's one of the very few people I know that had that kind of faith. If the Lord says it, I believe it, you know? And even though I've been with groups that call themselves faith groups or full gospel groups, it just seemed like I didn't see them believing everything that was in the Word. And it bothered me. And then I realized when Brother Pat was speaking that that's what it was. And that's what I kept looking for. People who believe that the Word says it, I believe it. And that's why I believe the Lord brought me back to UBM. But that his testimony about the sieve, your brother Pat, your testimony about the sieve, it really helped me to see that. And I'm sorry that it took me another week to share it with you all, but never despise your testimonies because you don't know who they're ministering to. And I want to thank you, brother, for sharing that.
Amen. Did you have something, George?
Not at the moment. I'm enjoying it, though.
Okay. Well, I didn't know. I got a little testimony, but it's not really little if you think about it. Last night, we had our fellowship meeting, and boy, it was raining straight down. Even at the end, it was raining straight down. I'm talking about buckets coming everywhere. And when it was over, we all agreed in prayer that rain would stop by the time we got ready to go home. Guess what? And the moon would shine. Guess what? It did exactly that. So we didn't get wet. And we made it home okay. Everybody, I think, made it home okay. And didn't get wet at all. Wait a minute. Let me hear him. This might be an anti-testimony. Go ahead, Matthew.
Well, the neat thing about that testimony is I looked at the weather before we went to the meeting, and it said it was supposed to rain up till 7 o'clock in the morning this morning. Well, when we left the meeting, when it was dry, the sky was clear, the moon was shining, and there was no rain.
Yeah, it was awesome. Yeah, we learned that years ago that we as people of God can control the weather.
Yep.
Yeah, Leah.
I'd like to add to that testimony too. It rained so hard that the people with gravel and dirt driveways, all their driveways were out into the middle of the street.
That's right.
It was like a flood that happened. It was a couple of inches in a half hour or something like that. So it was a torrential rain. And when Michael said that, we just believed with him that it was going to happen, and it actually did. Praise God. Mm-hmm.
Course, right at the end, I said, "Now get up and get out of here real quick while it's not." No, it was good though. It was a testimony to our faith. Praise God. Okay, anybody else? you can always, through your faith, change your circumstances around you. Man, I found that out. You can even change yourself through your faith. With God's help, of course. With God leading the way. But you just have to put it on the altar and understand that He's doing it. Thank you, Jesus. Okay, anybody else got a good testimony or praise report? Need prayer? Go ahead, Malcolm. I see you got your hand raised. I'm sorry. You must unmute.
Unmuted. I muted myself at the same time you unmuted. I must have toggled with you. I doubled with you. How's that?
Okay.
The multiplicative inverse of toggling. I wanted maybe to explain a little bit of a situation I've talked about here before. The denomination I came out of, there's some people years ago when I was a college student that started trying to carefully expose some of the errors in the church, in the denomination, I should say. And once people realized the implications of what they were saying, they basically started to blackball them, and it was just a horrendous persecution against them and public labeling and saying the most terrible things about them and developing these, you know. Anyway, both these people, a couple of these people have died recently, and it's just resurrected more of the people saying that they were just really bad things about them, whereas others so grateful that they were liberated from the former kind of theology that was basically, it's almost like there's very fearful, you know, the gospel has very little power. So anyway, but a lot of this discussion and whatnot these folks have helped me tremendously, even though I was very different from how they believed. They were considered more liberal just simply because they were exposing things. And I was kind of the hardcore conservative traditionalist camp person as a student and later. So anyway, I just feel like they really helped me. And I think because of all the vile talk coming out against them again, all these, you know, 40 years later, and then also people that are very grateful. It just, I found myself wanting to respond to somebody's post that was just inappropriate, and I felt this anger rising up in me, and I really want to pray for. I don't want to have any kind of bitterness. Residual bitterness or anger or any of that. I mean, I think that's part of this whole process, is the Lord bringing to light things in our hearts that we weren't necessarily really aware of. Because when you're confronted, like when Jesus was confronted with people, he didn't lash out at them from personal anger. Sometimes there was anger, but it wasn't a personal vindictive type thing, if you know what I'm saying. So anyway, I just want to be clean on that account, of course, on all accounts, but that one particularly. I don't want to have any kind of resentment. I want to be completely forgiving from the heart. And when confronted with people that are you know the kind of people I'm talking about. I just want to have a forgiving attitude and loving attitude, actually, toward these people. Compad Andy and Michael?
Yeah, I'm just waiting on you to pray, and I was going to pray with you.
Lord, save me. for myself.
Amen. Amen. Good.
Take my hand. Take my hand and pull me out of any kind of bitterness or resentment or anything like that. And not funny, actually. But I thank you, Lord, for, you know, our hearts, you know, the situation of for all these people. And I just pray, Lord, that you will spare some of these wicked people that are saying such terrible things. Lord, I just pray that you will spare them, that you will grant repentance. And I know in all these denominations, you have elect, you know, in there. I pray that you will just expose the wickedness, the idolatry, the apostasy, all the stuff that's against you and against your gospel and against your holy son Jesus, and just expose it. And we push back those religious spirits. We push them back in Jesus' name. And Lord, send out your light and your truth. Let them lead these folks, and let them bring them into your tabernacles and your holy places, to your altar. So your light, Lord, we need your light and your truth to be spread throughout these denominations and to expose the evil and to make way for your the glorious message of your Son and your Spirit and your plan for us. And but thank you so much, Lord, for all these things.
Amen.
In his name.
Yes, Lord, we just hook our faith up with Malcolm. Believe everything that he's prayed is coming to pass in Jesus' name. Lord, save these people. Yes, there's tons of people out there in the same boat. Father, we thank you for saving your chosen. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Okay, anything else, Malcolm?
All this has been really weighing on me to the point of tears, actually. And years ago, I had a dream in which a number of us, and I related the dream here on this call way back during the days of Paul Reimel. And I think it was back then. But anyway, the dream was very... it's almost like a poetry, and it kind of expressed the frustration that I think a lot of us in this denomination have felt as we were trying to get to the truth and trying to get things exposed, and then all of our efforts were covered up, locked away and sealed, so that the light never did come. That was the way it was in the dream anyway. So. But it's a really heart-wrenching situation that, you know, the gospel should be so locked away. But anyway.
Well, that's why God's bringing tribulation. So he'll that's open right. up these doors that they have closed toward him. Amen. Thank you,
Father. And I think part of our role is to be careful not to get involved in the flesh and to try to close doors and open doors ourselves in the flesh, and to try to address people necessarily directly if they're making statements. Because you can, I mean, especially on some of these forums and whatnot, you can get involved, and it's, you know, for some of these folks, it's just not the time for them to be addressed. I think, like you're saying, Michael, it's going to take tribulation to allow people to even get their eyes open.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not our place to try to pry open doors the Lord hasn't opened yet. So,
well, if you think back on all the times that you tried to convince somebody of the gospel, the truth of the gospel, how many arguments did you win? You know, you know, that's why
the argument. But on the other hand, if you find somebody who the Lord has opened their heart and they're open to the gospel because of circumstances or something, then, and then you're led by the Spirit, that's so rewarding, because then everything works, you know.
Mm-hmm. All right. Okay. Yeah, go ahead, Pat.
Malcolm, is that denomination or that group that you're referring to, is it an individual church, or is it a church that is affiliated with a greater denomination?
Sounds like what's my line?
Yeah. No, it's a large denomination with many millions of members around the world.
Okay.
Yeah, it's pretty big. And they have a presence in a lot of countries. So probably most countries, I would say.
Yeah. That's I know that people get anchored down in that type of religion or that type of churchianity or whatever you want to call it, because there's an aspect of security there. And unfortunately, if that individual or that those individuals don't experience some sort of personal failure that they really need an answer that environment there or the leadership can't address and can't answer. In other words, they need something that really needs to come from God. And and unfortunately, if they are not motivated to reach out in that way or to seek out in that way, chances are they're going to stay in that situation, in that environment, which is unfortunate. But and I believe that is why the Lord has called out for repentance and people to read their word, to read what it says, and to compare what that word says with what they're being taught, and to learn to make choices and decisions based upon that. Unfortunately, or fortunately, doing that is a little bit uncomfortable as well, because if you're going to stay in the midst of that environment, you have to do it, I'm not going to say tongue in cheek, but you have to do it taking the information and taking the environment and receiving it as from the hand of God until he gives you direction to move out, to lead you out, or whatever. So I believe that's why the Lord is using those environments to prepare people, even though we may not, I haven't been involved in the church in that way for a long time, but I'm confident that there are people in there that God has separated in that environment and wants to touch their hearts and do something in their lives and to use them, but he doesn't have the mechanism to do it yet. I mean, I went through many revivals, I'm going to say personal revivals and also kind of church corporate revivals when we were, as a Baptist church, we were seeking revival, quite a bit in our early days, and God touched us in quite a few ways and brought us into experiences from a Baptist perspective that are quite unconventional, related to dealing with demons and this sort of thing. And that's not even in the glossary of the Baptist tradition. That's like way out there, you know. So we were in no man's land. We were all seeking and wondering and scratching our heads as to what was happening here, type of thing, when we were dealing with that. But God, I believe, is doing these sorts of things in the denominations, and we, as I was saying, we went through specific revivals at that time where people were confessing their sin and going up in front of the group and confessing their sin, and God was just, everybody was, it was very open and honest and very humbled, and the Spirit of the Lord was just with us through those times, but it never stayed. It never stayed because it couldn't grow, and it couldn't, they unfortunately didn't have the awareness or concept of discipleship and learning. And unfortunately, when you're in that learning experience, it also means that there's probably something that you're believing or living with or experiencing that is not right, that has to be chucked out the door. You have to turn your back on it, and you have to move in this new direction that God's giving you. And it's in those positions of those places of decision, I've seen many in leadership, in pastors and group leaders and everything, that's where they seem to stumble. So the environment of the church, the existing modern day church of today, does not have the wherewithal to carry us through, teach us how to walk through and trust God to walk through these times that we're going into. And so, but I am confident that there are many, many hungry souls in that environment that want to know God and want to know really how to walk with Jesus and how to trust him for their supply, their daily supply. So I guess we're going into an exciting time. But don't lose heart, because I think that God created these churches and these denominations for a purpose. I know it looks like they've been taken away, and they've been, you know, the devil's taken them down the road and whatever, and he has. No, I don't think there's any doubt about it. But it's an environment, a certain controlled environment that the Lord uses for that particular purpose, for a particular purpose of holding those people in place, safe from the evil, uncontrolled, rebellious world of today. At least there is this place where God can kind of nurture people along and give them that opportunity to trust the Lord. So I just, I don't lose hope in those situations, but I've certainly been involved in them long enough to know that you're not going to change what's there. It's going to take a higher hand and a higher pressure to break down those structures. So anyway, that's all I have.
Yeah. Thanks, Pat. I remember back in, oh, I forget what, it was back in the late 90s. I went to a kind of a meeting. It was not highly publicized because of the nature of it, but they went through some early history of the denomination that I was in. And I remember after the meeting, about 12 of us sat around on these metal folding chairs, It was about midnight, Saturday night. I remember sitting around looking, and we were all looking at each other. The speaker was there that had gone through some of the difficult stuff with all of us. The organizer of the meeting was, and several other people, we were just sitting there looking at each other, and we were saying, where do we go from here? Where in the world are we going to go now that we know this stuff? And unfortunately, the guy who organized the meeting, he, after this was all over, he went home, he divorced his wife, he left the denomination, and he left God completely. And just went, you know, it's really sad. And I see some light in what you're saying, Pat, about that God, you know, holds people in these denominations to kind of keep them safe. Because this guy, when he found out some of the stuff that we found out, he couldn't handle it. He just, it was too much. You know, so, you know, I wondered after that meeting, there was so few people that actually survived with this knowledge. And the other night I was just praising God. I was just thanking him because, you know, the Lord, I believe, has opened my eyes to a lot of these things. And I've been granted to see, you know, see this, whereas God hasn't granted that to you know, so far the people around me. So I've had to learn to keep my mouth shut and just pray, you know. And but I think it's a real privilege to be allowed to you know, come into God's light. So anyway, but it's true that these denominations do kind of keep people in line while they're, you know, maybe in a holding pattern or something.
Okay. Okay, Denny, let me get right to you. Let me find out if this is Terry. Hey, Terry, is that you? At 208-591-0128?
It's an Idaho number.
Yeah, I know.
We could do a reverse lookup right now.
Yeah, I muted you. Terry, is that you? Can you hear me? I think it's Terry McGinley. Okay, go ahead, Denny. Maybe she'll come back.
Okay, first of all, I have Terry's number here in my phone, 591-0128.
Okay, that's Terry. Yeah. Okay, good.
But I wanted to share a song, if it's all right. It's that verse that Malcolm's using, referred to it in Psalm 43:3. Oh, now I forget what it was again.
Psalm 43:3.
Yeah. 3 and 4. And the Lord gave me tuned to this scripture, these verses, back in 83. And I'd like to just share it.
Sure, yeah, go ahead.
It's a wonderful prayer, you know, for us and for others. And it's like a round, I mean, it's like a repeat, like an echo. So if you want to on your own, just repeat these phrases that I sing in the same tune all the way up to, oh my God, and then I sing something that you don't repeat, but you can repeat it for that point. So anyway, just I'll let you know that. Oh, send out thy light and thy truth. Let them lead me. Let them lead me. Let them take me to thy holy hill and to thy dwelling, O my God. Then will I go to the altar of God, to God my exceeding joy. Yet with a lyre will I praise you, O my God, O my God, O my God, O my God. God. O send out thy light and thy truth. Let them lead me. Let them lead me. Let them take me to thy holy hill and to thy dwelling, O my God. Then will I go to the altar of God, to God my exceeding joy. Yes, with the lyre will I praise you, O my God. Oh my God, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God. Amen.
Thank you, Lord. Amen.
Jesus, for your truth.
Thank you, Jesus.
Let it lead us, Lord.
Amen. Terry, if you can hear me, I think it's star 6 to unmute. If you're on the phone. If you're not, all you have to do is take your... Yeah, there you go.
There we are. Yeah, I was trying to talk and you couldn't hear me because I didn't know how to unmute it.
Okay. Yeah, we got you now. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Debbie gave me, told me your number, not so I figured that was you.
Yeah.
How you doing? Did you have a good trip? Well, I saw you did on the blog. Debbie put it on the blog.
It was an exciting trip, that's for sure.
Okay. Well, you got home safe.
Yeah, I did. And I got to see my mom and dad and everybody, so that was nice. But yeah, it was really weird because we had to make an emergency landing in St. Louis.
Yeah. And man, I saw you. Well, praise God. You got to run over to Kansas City and see all the folks, huh?
Yeah, and I got to give them some good testimonies, too. And it really, I could tell it was impacting them. And I think they're at least trying to believe.
Amen.
Yeah.
Praise God. Did you have a nice stay here?
I sure did. I had a wonderful time. And so many of you have just really blessed me. I got to talk to a lot of people. I didn't get to talk to everybody. But I just had a wonderful time. I was really blessed.
Amen. Yeah, me too. I ate too much is all.
And I really liked the fried or the grilled bologna. That was awesome.
Amen. It was so good, y'all. Well, thank you, Terry.
Well, thank you.
Amen. Okay. Anybody else? Yeah, go ahead, Denny.
Yeah, I thought that grilled bologna was sweet potatoes. People were asking me what it is. I said, it looks like sweet potatoes.
Tell me the taste of it.
Bologna. And I ate a couple of them and didn't even know it.
Well, it was actually smoked barbecue.
Okay.
Roadkill bologna. It was good, though. You know, you can do anything with any kind of piece of meat if you put the right spices on it. Amen. Okay, Willie, did you have something?
Yeah. Who was it that was talking earlier? Who was it? I can't remember. But was it? No, it wasn't Leon. It was the other gentleman. But he was talking about
Malcolm. You talking about Malcolm?
Yeah, Malcolm. Yeah. I'm terrible with names. If you guys' names weren't in front of me, I'm like, hey, sisters, brothers. But this verse of scripture came to my mind out of Revelations and from what the Lord has showed me from the call. I haven't read the book. I was just listening to the audio book. It's easier for me to do it while I'm working. But it's in Revelations 3:17-22. And he said something very interesting in the call, you know, that caught my attention. But this is the verse it brought up into my mind about, you know, that community thing that people can't get out of in churches, and what they're considerably blind to. And so I'll just read it. We're familiar with this one. Because you say, I am rich and have gotten riches and have need of nothing, and knoweth not that you are wretched, that you art the wretched one and miserable and poor and blind and naked, I counsel thee to buy of me gold refined by fire, that you may become rich, and white garments, that you may clothe yourself, that the shame of your nakedness be not made manifest, and eye salves, to anoint your eyes, that thou mayest see. As many as I love, I reprove and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him, and will sup with him, and he with me. He that overcometh, I will give to him to sit down with me in my throne, as I also overcame and sat down with my Father in his throne. He that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith to the churches. You know, when you're denying, you don't see that you're the wretched one. You know, you don't see that you're miserable. You don't see that you're poor. You don't see that you're blind. You know, you have spiritual security. Your church, you know, that's your pastor. This is your fellowship, and you're going to go to heaven. You know, and because of that, you will not buy from the Lord. He says, I counsel thee to buy of me gold refined by fire, you know. And how do you buy it? You know, how do you obtain it? Death to self. Let go of the wretched one. Let go of the poor one. Let go of, but it's not just death to self. You have to realize that you're the wretched one, that you're miserable, that you're poor, and that you're naked. And if you don't have that realization, you're not going to be able to buy from the Lord gold refined in fire, that you may become rich, in white garments, that thou mayest clothe thyself, that the shame of thy nakedness be not made manifest. And so we're talking about the Garden of Eden. We're talking about what we inherited from Adam. We're talking about the old man, the shame of the old man, the shame that came from the old man. Eye salves, anoint your eyes, you're blind. You know, the doctrine has made them blind. You know, they received a different anointing. You know, it's not from the Lord. You know, here they are. They're wretched, they're poor, they're naked, they're miserable, and they're blind. And it goes on, as many as I love, you know, how is he going to rebuke and chasten you if you aren't going to come to the realization that you're wretched, you know, that you're miserable, that you're poor, that you're blind, you know, that you're blind and naked. And so I was thinking about this scripture, and I'm like, it's interesting how when I was in church, the Lord had to say to me, is that it? You know, to bring me to the realization that what I'm doing in my denomination wasn't going to get me anywhere. You know, it fell flat, absolutely and completely. But the thing that got me about the call is when he said how he made a comment about the wretchedness, the miserableness, the blindness, the nakedness. And he says, because the way he put it, he said, you know, my people don't agree with that. And because they don't agree with that, you know, they're not going by the word of Christ in order that they might be, you know, clothed upon, you know, that their eyes may see, you know, that they might receive chastening. You know, it's not a good thing not to agree with what the word of God says about the carnal man. And I wish I could say it like they said in the call. But I did find that really interesting. And I, you know, that's why I couldn't get out my denomination, you know, because to me being in that denomination was righteousness, you know. It was salvation. It was deliverance. It was whatever you want to compare it to be. So I never clearly seen my wretchedness. I never really clearly seen how miserable, how poor I was, how naked I was, you know, how I needed to be cleansed from evil works. And I never was zealous according to that zealousness that you get from the Lord, that where, you know, you're not looking at yourself, but you're looking at Him. You know, I was always in denominations looking at myself, you know, making sure I'm trying to do enough, you know, making sure I'm there, you know, on the days that it's open, making sure I'm clapping when they're worshiping, making sure I'm standing when they tell me to stand, sit when I sit, pray when they tell me to pray, you know, come up front when I needed something to be prayed for. But I didn't have that zeal that led me to the Lord. I just had that, you know, this is the way it is, and, you know, this is the way I'm going to get to heaven, you know, follow the pattern. So was I lukewarm? Yeah, because I had a pattern. I had a worldly pattern, you know, that didn't change me. It didn't change me internally, you know. And I didn't know the Lord's love. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten, you know. So whenever, you know, something would happen to me, you know, it's because I'm a Christian. I didn't see it because, no, I'm such a wretched sinner. You know, I took it as also, you know, I'm a Christian and I'm going to church and this is why this bad stuff is happening. Because I'm a Christian and I'm going to church. There was a lot of confusion when I was in the denomination. I couldn't tell when the Lord was knocking on the door. I really couldn't, you know. I couldn't tell His voice. You know, the pastor's voice was His voice to me. And so there wasn't no opening of the door that He might come in and sup with me. And I wasn't overcoming anything. So spiritually, I wasn't, you know, sitting. I wasn't sitting down, you know, in the Lord's throne, you know, even as He overcame and sat down in His Father's throne, you know. And so I wasn't hearing what the Spirit was saying to the church. I was only hearing what the denomination said. And it's because I didn't have I had a small perspective of sin. I'm a sinner. I repented. I accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, and there it is. You know, now I got to do everything I can to move to please the Lord. And so I wasn't really in it.
I wanted to ask you while you're right there at that point, what great thing happened in your life to get you where you are now?
It was a process.
You mean a long process, a short process?
It was a long process.
Was it?
Yeah, it was probably a good 6-7 year process. It didn't come instantly. Even when, you know, I was still in the denomination and I asked the Lord for tongues and I received tongues. To me, it was just about, I want that gift. I want to be able to speak to the Lord. Did I fully understand it? No, but I know that it had power behind it, you know. And so it was all about either seeking gifts, seeking power, manifesting something, manifesting some gift, trying to find my spirituality through gifts, you know. So for me, I wanted the gift, you know. I did honestly want it, but my understanding of it was spirituality was walking in the gifts of the Spirit, you know, rather than seeing that, yeah, without Christ, I'm wretched, naked, and miserable. And that's, you know, so I can't be anything without him, you know. And even that's the way the call kind of put it. You know, he says a lot of people deny me because they don't accept what what that scripture says. And they try to serve me, you know, according to their own understanding in the best ways, you know, that they see according to whatever denomination you're in. You know, I'm still not quoting it the way it said in the call perfectly. So I went through a process, you know. It wasn't until I got to Virginia, I came across UVM. And then that was a process, you know. Getting divorced was part of the process, you know. And so everything was just long haul of a process for me. It wasn't just like, cling, instantly. You know, I'm the man of God, you know. It was like, it was that one scripture, all those whom I love, I rebuke and chasten, you know, even if it has to be for years, so that I can become zealous and follow after him. You have to get rid of a lot of stuff, you know, that my zeal might be set on him and not have the spots and blemishes of denominational life, you know. And I wouldn't even be afraid. Like, I think of Joe and his wife, and there's something that she has to learn. She has to learn what is in her that's, you know, where she's not hearing, where her zeal isn't completely directed to the Lord. What is it about that church that's pulling her away to have a direct zeal toward the Lord? And I thought of something like that. And I said, you know, it's that wretched, miserable, poor, nakedness part that we have about ourselves that we have a tendency to cling on to, you know, and try to find a community to cover it up rather than just what it says, repent, you know, repent from that denomination and follow after me. Repent from trusting in yourself and follow after me. You know, repent from your own wisdom and follow after me. You know, and then you'll be able to buy from me, you know, gold refined in the fire, you know. But without that repentance, you're missing out on something. You're missing out on the gold. You're missing out on the garments. You're missing out on the love of the Lord, you know. You're missing out on the chastening. You're missing out on being able to hear the voice of the Lord. You're missing out on overcoming. He's telling you everything you're missing out on. If you can't accept that, hey, without him, I'm going to be wretched. I'm going to be miserable. I'm going to be poor. I'm going to be blind. And I'm going to miss out on everything after that. I'm not going to repent. I'm not going to get the garments. I'm not going to do any of those things, you know. But if I do that, then, you know, I'll sit down with Christ in his throne, you know, as an overcomer, and I'll be the church of God. Because at the end, it says, you know, what the Spirit saith to the churches. you know, not to the denomination, but to the churches, to the body. But yeah, I just wanted to say that. There was another thing I wanted to pray about. I went to the bike shop today, and I'll make it quick. And they posted all these pictures of missing children, you know, outside the bike shop. You know, all these faces, you know, posted up there. And I just wanted to pray about all of those missing persons, all those children. You know, I'm reading one of them, person's been missing since, you know, 2001. Yeah, incredible, just incredible. Not found yet. That's crazy. If you guys don't mind, I'd like to pray about that. All right, Father, I just thank you, Lord, that you brought me across the bicycle shop, Heavenly Father, that, you know, you lead us into certain things, and sometimes it goes over our heads, and you brought it, the bicycle shop, to me to pray about. Well, there are many things for us to pray about, and it goes over our heads as just a daily activity, or as something that just came across in our daily activities that's so easily ignored, or something we are so, we see so much, we don't take thought to praying about it. But Lord, I just thank you for bringing up thought to pray about it. And Lord, I just pray for every missing child. Lord, that you begin to work your work, God, for every child that is missing, Lord God, on that poster. Lord God, that they're found, Heavenly Father, because you came, you found us, Heavenly Father. We sat in darkness, Heavenly Father, in the region of the valley of the shadow of death, Lord God, and you came unto us. Heavenly Father, I'm just asking that these children begin to be found, Lord God, that you begin, they begin to return to their families. And if they're not communicating with their families, Father God, that you begin to bring them back in communication with their families, Heavenly Father, just as you brought us back in communication with you, O Lord, through your Son, Jesus Christ. Lord, I'm just asking that you send your angels to gather them, not just to be found physically, but to be found spiritually, Heavenly Father.
Amen. Yeah, Lord.
Found by you, Lord. To know you as Savior, to know you as a deliverer, to know you as the healer, the mighty God. And Lord, we just thank you for that. And we bless your holy name. And Lord, just thank you. Amen.
Amen, Lord. We thank you for finding all these kids in Jesus' name. You know, talking about the denominations, the verse that came to my mind was Luke chapter 9, verse 58, and it's also in Matthew 2. When Jesus, I'm going to start in 57, as they went on the way, a certain man said unto him, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. And Jesus said unto him, the foxes have holes, and the birds of heaven have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. That's what he's walking through these denominations, and he has nowhere to be the head of these churches because they've got another Jesus. And that's why he said, I'm going to shake them up, and I'm going to shake my people out of him. And that's what's fixing to happen. He's going to shake the world, shake the churches, actually, is what he wants to do. That's what he's going to do. And all of these people that are, that have had their eyes closed because of this thing that belong to the Lord are going to come out of there. They're going to come out running to you because they're going to know that they're in some kind of false religion because the pastor hadn't saved them. The denomination has not saved them. And tribulation is here and they're not zapped out of here yet. But I'm telling you, God's going to do it. And we're going to have the greatest revival that this world has ever seen coming up here shortly. And it's going to be awesome. You're going to see your family members. You're going to see the people that you have prayed for years and begged and pleaded with them to come into the kingdom. But then we pray and we believe, and that's when God's going to do it. And I know that it's going to happen because his word says it. And if his word says it, we believe it. And I praise you, Father, for that, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Yeah, Joe, go ahead.
I'm glad we're kind of talking about this because, I listened to what you said, you know, yesterday, Michael, you know, in that morning Bible study for the few who were there about the independent fundamental Baptist church. I kind of did my own little brief research and yeah, I mean, I looked into it and it's in the Southern Baptist church as well. I mean, just recently, you know, the last couple months that, these allegations, you know, abuse allegations came out and, you know, and personally, I was the Lord delivered me, you know, before he really got my attention from the independent fundamental church. I want to pray about that. You know, that's their shaking. I mean, I would agree with what you're saying. Yeah, it's coming. You know, that's the only way God is going to get their attention like he did me. You know, he shook my world up. You know, I was so focused on everything else and myself just you know, kind of like what you were saying, Willie, you know, you were looking inward, you know, and, or, you know, you thought your denomination had it. I think with me is, I mean, I lost all faith in the, you know, denominations. I mean, I can remember, you know, the little independent fundamental church I was going to, and the Lord, you know, I mean, I can look at it and say, he put those thoughts in my mind, you know, where I just was like dwelling on them. I remember hearing the pastor preach one Sunday. And I sat there and I just, you know, the thought came to mind. I'm like, there's got to be more than this. You know, sitting every Sunday or every Thursday, basically under the law, you know, is what I was doing. Just like you said, Willie, I made an effort to, every time the doors were open, you know, that was stressed. I mean, like the last couple churches I've been to, you know, that was the attitude. You know, you got to make an effort to get in the doors here, you know, and worship the Lord, you know, with your brothers and sisters, you know, every time the doors are open, you know, that's the law, you know, that I held to. I mean, and there were others, you know, with that law, but that was, you know, and I just sat there and I thought, there's got to be more, you know, there's got to be more to this. I'm hearing, I'm looking at these, you know, reading these stories in the Bible, or I mean, I'd hear them preach to me just these great exploits these men of God would do. You know, I see these miracles. I mean, I didn't see any of that sitting there. You know, we didn't believe in the gifts of the Spirit as Baptists. You know, didn't even believe in the Holy Spirit, you know, that I finally realized here these last couple of years. And I stopped and I thought, man, there's got to be more. You know, like I keep saying, there's got to be more to this. You know, if this is Christianity, man, I'm missing out, you know, or I don't want anything to do with it anymore is basically what I said. You know, and I found out no. So, I mean, it's just with this recent, you know, it's like, I mean, a lot of, you know, allegations of abuse are now coming out. You know, I think I remember someone was saying when we were talking about the Catholic Church, you know, it's happened it's happening everywhere. And I guess it didn't really dawn on me at the time. But yeah, it's everywhere anymore. And it's, I want to pray for them, you know, that, yeah, like you said, Michael, the shaking's coming. You know, that's the way God is using. I mean, he used it for me. I'm sure there's others here. Or others that, you know, have come to UBM or other ministries who realize that, you know, we were so set in our ways, you know, or just stuck where we were at that God had to shake us out of that, you know, and so this is his way. I'm very encouraged about it, and I know it works. You know, I can attest, yes, that's the way God uses it, and I'm encouraged that it's going to happen. You know, I mean, I'm sad, and my heart was heavy. I was praying this morning and kind of, you know, I mean, yeah, move the tears that, you know, just the, we're seeing more of this, you know, abuse come out, but it's, you know, I'm always brought back to Romans 8:28, all things, you know, work, you know, I mean, to the good, you know, so, I mean, I'm realizing that all that negative, you know, all those things, they work for it, you know, so God's going to do something great. I am encouraged. I'm, you know, it's sad. I am sad, and, you know, my heart was heavy that these things have happened, but God is using them. So I just want to pray that, you know, God would just, yeah, like he would continue the process here for all those, you know, there's many who are probably just totally, you know, I mean, what is going on? You know, I thought my pastor was a man of God, or many already knew, but then, you know, those who didn't know found out, and like, I thought he was a man of God, but then I'm finding this out. So yeah, I just want you to agree with me about it, you know, but Father, we just come to you. We thank you, Lord, for your plan, you know, most of all, what you're doing in this world and what you're doing for your church, Lord. You know, for too many years, your people have been in apostasy. You know, we've been in error, Lord. We've followed another Jesus. You know, Father, we haven't followed your son. Many of us out there, you know, still, Lord, don't even know your son. We don't even know you. You know, I mean, your children. And we thank you, Lord, for, you know, that your great love. You know, I thank you that you loved me enough to shake my world up and, you know, get my attention and show me who you really are. And I thank you for all those Baptists, independent, fundamental, or Southern Baptist, or whoever, you know, that are within the Baptist denomination, that, Lord, you are, you know, I mean, you've probably shaken it already with these recent, you know, abuse allegations, you know, and things coming to light finally. But, Lord, you're really going to shake them. You know, I thank you that you're going to shake their foundations, their religious foundations, and show them that, you know, this isn't me. I'm not in any, you know, any of this. And I thank you that when the man child comes on the scene, you know, they're going to be the new leadership. You know, they're going to show them this is what it is. This is the truth. You know, it's time to walk in it. So, Lord, I ask that you would, you know, get those attention of your elect, you know, your chosen, Lord, that are still stuck in the Baptist denomination, you know, and just, you know, put it on their heart, Lord, that, you know, like you did me, there's more, there's got to be more, you know, there is more, and begin to show them, yes, there is more than what you've known for so many years. You know, there's so much more. You know, it's time to step out of this. Lord, put it in their hearts to step out, to leave those churches, you know, regardless of the consequences, regardless of what happens, and to step out in faith and just say, okay, you know, I'm going to start that journey. And, you know, I'm going to get to know you, Lord. You know, I pray this, Lord, and I thank you for what you're going to do ahead of time. I'm encouraged that, yes, there's a great revival coming. Lord, continue to prepare us, you know, continue to help us to be ready. And put it in us, you know, if we've grown cold or if we've kind of grown lax, you know, just keep going, you know, keep going, keep moving deeper, you know, into the things of you, and just put that fire back in us if it's not there, you know, if it's kind of, you know, died off a bit, put that fire back in us to keep pressing forward. We thank you for what you're going to do. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Yeah, go ahead, Andrew.
Just today at work, I went up to one of the guys there. He's retiring soon, and I sort of mentioned, you know, how does someone know when they're deceived? I mean, they're obviously deceived, you know. I just came out of the blue with this, and here we are tonight talking about this stuff, and that's just really great that the Lord is doing this. Like, it's actually ministering to me and helping me. And, you know, I just saying, you know, like, if you're deceived, you don't know you're deceived, you know. How do you know? Where do you go to find out if you're deceived, you know? Of course, if he was going to ask me, well, where would you go? You know, I was going to put a defense into the Bible there, but he never really did ask me because he didn't want to get into it with me, I guess. So I just find that the Lord is kind of freaking me out a bit, showing me that that we came to this first with Malcolm, praying for his people, you know, and I, you know, you always, the associates that you associated with and the people you know that still need to have so much help from the Lord. So I like this course the way it's going so far. I'm just enjoying myself.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Yeah, Pat.
I too am enjoying this. I really enjoyed what Willie brought up in Revelation. There it was kind of enlightening, but especially the part where actually, I'd like to go. I'd like to just bring up that when he was talking about it, it reminded me of this scripture in John 16:3. I'm sorry, John 16:13. It says, Jesus was saying, "Howbeit, when the Spirit of truth is come, he shall guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak from himself, but whatever, what things soever he shall hear, these things he speaks. And he shall declare unto you the things that are to come." But the thing that hit me was the verse preceding this that said, as he was talking to his disciples, he said, "I have yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now." And it reminded me of these people that are deposited throughout the world in these denominations. And I haven't heard the latest about the independent fundamental Baptist scenario, but that was the exact doorway that the Lord took me into these denominations. That was the first one for me. But one thing that I learned, kind of a foundational thing that I learned, is that I believe the Lord birthed me into his kingdom, into his awareness, into salvation, before he led me to that church. And I kind of, through reading and listening and praying and just receiving, you know, kind of listening to specific direction and awareness that the Lord was giving me at the time, I kind of, I guess, developed a sense of hearing his voice, even in the spirit. And when I went into the Baptist church, I know that there was things that were typically being taught as more or less of, well, we don't believe that, but we believe this type of thing. I encountered a lot of that type of thing, which I'm sure everybody does in the religion, in the denominations. But the thing that hit me was the decision coming upon a couple scriptures. I think it was in Ezekiel 18, which was a kind of a big one, and that was the verses where God is saying that if a righteous man turn away from his righteousness will not be remembered, and he will be condemned or whatever. But if a unrighteous man turn away from his unrighteousness and turn to the Lord and walk in that righteousness, his righteousness will be remembered, and what was past will be past, type thing. And it went kind of contrary to the once saved, always saved type of foundational teaching was part of that Baptist tradition. And I remember talking with the pastor about that at the time, said, well, we believe this, but here's what the word says here. What, how do you explain that? And then, of course, I kind of got the same old, well, we don't believe that. We believe that such and such, but yada, yada, yada. Of course, right at the point where you hear the, we don't believe that, that's where my mind, I had the decision. That's where you get the decision. Well, am I going to believe what this guy is saying, or am I going to believe what it says in the Word? Of course, you you select the Word, and then you take what the guy is saying with a grain of salt or whatever. And learning to live it within that environment to a certain degree becomes a challenging situation. But anyway, what hit me is that God has people in those denominations, and the verses that came to me as Willie was talking was the verses in John 10, where Jesus is talking about, I am the good shepherd. Verse 1, it says, truly I say to you, he that entereth not by the door into the fold of the sheep, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice. And he calleth his own sheep by name, and he leads them out. He hath put forth, when he hath put forth all his own, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger they will not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. And I believe that there's many people in these denominations that, like Willie said, God has given them an ear to hear, but they are confused at what they're hearing. But there's an ear there to hear, an ear that desires to hear God's voice and has been created and tuned to hear God's voice, but they're not hearing it. And they want to know the voice of Jesus. They want to know, they want to know him. They're not hearing it. But when they do hear his voice, when they do hear truth, it will ring in their heart like that tuning fork that I talked about a long time ago. That tuning fork will ring, and they will hear it, and they will be attracted, and they'll vibrate, and they'll hear it, because they'll know and hear and see truth. And I believe that God has put within, even within us in a group, many of us have come from the denominations, but there was a desire and a love that God put in our heart for truth, no matter where it leads you. Truth, because it just like Willie was saying in that verse in Revelation, it said, buy of me gold
refined in fire.
Are you going to follow that truth, even if it costs you, even if it costs you your friends, even if it costs you your comfort zone, even if it costs you Are you going to follow truth, or are you going to set it to the side and continue to be comfortable or whatever? It's going to cost us to walk in that truth. But all of those promises that Willie was talking about in those later verses are a result of that, shedding that old man and entering into that place, that secret place of the Most High, where you can't be touched. That Job 1, 2, and 3 place where the devil had to pound on the door, God's door, and say, "Can I touch this guy?" And God said, either yay or nay. That place where God's word protects you from anything in any other environment that would try to attack you. So I'm just being really blessed by this. This meeting tonight is just very good. Everybody is sharing some very points that are hitting my heart all over the place. So I appreciate it. Thank you, everybody. Thank the Lord. Amen.
You know, Pat, when you were reading that, the sixth verse, Jesus is even saying that they didn't understand what he was saying right there at that time.
Go ahead, Missy.
Well, early on, just listening to what everybody's saying reminded me of the verses that I got for the prayer meeting this morning that I sent in, and they're really encouraging. And it's Isaiah, I'd like to read them. It's Isaiah 41, and the first part of this, 1 through 8, is basically, it's the subheading for that is the Lord raises up a deliverer. And then for the part that I'm going to read is Israel assured of help. And this is what it says, starting in verse 8 of chapter 41 of Isaiah. And this is just so encouraging. But thou, Israel, my servant, Jacob, whom I have chosen, the seed of Abraham, my friend, thou whom I have taken hold of from the ends of the earth, and called from the corners thereof, and said unto thee, thou art my servant, I have chosen thee, and not cast thee away. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Behold, all they that are incensed against thee shall be put to shame and confounded. They that strive with thee shall be as nothing and shall perish. Thou shalt seek them and shalt not find them. Even them that contend with thee, they that war against thee shall be as nothing, as a thing of naught. For I, the Lord thy God, will hold thy right hand, saying unto thee, fear not, I will help thee. Fear not, thou worm Jacob, and ye men of Israel, I will help thee, says the Lord. And thy Redeemer is the Holy One of Israel. Behold, I have made thee to be a new sharp threshing instrument, having teeth. Thou shalt thresh the mountains and beat them small, and shalt make the hills as chaff. Thou shalt winnow them, and the wind shall carry them away, and the whirlwind shall scatter them. And thou shalt rejoice in the Lord. Thou shalt glory in the Holy One of Israel. The poor and the needy seek water, and there is none, and their tongue faileth for thirst. I, the Lord, will answer them. I, the God of Israel, will not forsake them. I will open rivers on the bare heights and fountains in the midst of the valleys. I will make the wilderness a pool of water and the dry land springs of water. I will put in the wilderness the cedar, the acacia, and the myrtle, and the oil tree. I will set in the desert the fir tree, the pine, and the box tree together. that they may see and know and consider and understand together that the hand of the Lord hath done this, the Holy One of Israel hath created it. Amen. So.
Amen. That's some good verses.
Yeah, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that you are the one that's going to do all this.
Amen.
You know, for all our brothers and sisters, your chosen, your elect that are stuck in these denominations and they don't know where to go, Lord, and they really do love you, but they just have been in deception, Lord, and you're about ready to move the scales from their eyes and bring the light of the truth to their hearts and their minds and their ears, Lord. And we thank you and praise you for that, Lord. In Jesus' name.
Amen. I am the same yesterday, today, and forever, he said. Go ahead, Jordan.
I'd like to pray for the body of Christ, but first just stir everybody up and kind of remind you of what it took to get away from Babylon. Just like Abraham, Genesis 12, I think it would be good to proclaim, put our name instead of Abram. It says, now the Lord said unto George, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto the land that I will show thee, and I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and I will make thy name great, and be thou a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and him that curseth thee I will curse, and in thee shall all of the families of the earth be blessed. And I think about, you know, we've probably all had a pastor or somebody that we admired and they led us so far, and then we had to walk away from them, just like Abraham had to walk away from his father, away from Babylon, to go where God would take him. And I want to remind everybody, you know, we're not to know anybody after the flesh anyways, and I want to speak to our spirit man to remind us that we are way more violent than we portray on these screens, that we love each other, but in the spirit we are a violent people, and the kingdom of God suffers violence, and the violent take it by force. And Abraham, when he found out that Lot had been taken, he divided himself, he and his servants, and smote them and pursued them. And he brought back all the goods. He brought back his brother Lot and his goods and the women also and the people. And then Melchizedek blessed him. Anyway, I'll get choked up, but we are to be violent. We are not to be looking back at Babylon. We don't even know if those people are sold out to idols or if generations of curses have got them trapped. If they're going to seek the truth, they are going to find it. We don't have to worry about anybody that's supposed to find the truth. We don't have to do anything but rejoice and run our race. They are coming in. If they're bound to be, have the truth presented to them, they're going to follow the truth. You know, everybody's had a Judas in their life. If you haven't, you're going to have them. And Judas is how we get to the cross. So, you know, you can see them coming a mile away sometimes and just be thankful and don't let your flesh get riled up. Just go to your cross. And look forward to what's about to happen in the spirit, because the power of peace that we walk in is going to unleash all the other power. And I've been wanting to say for a while to keep speaking to ourselves and speaking to our spirit to stir up the gifts that are within us, that God has got gifts that we're to be walking in and exercising and expanding and asking for And we don't, maybe we don't even know what gifts we're supposed to ask for, but I think now's the time that we're to go after it very violently. That's the only word I keep getting, is that we got to go for it. And the power, there's no substitute for power. And that if anybody's going to come out and be jerked out of these, off these pews and benches or anything like that, they're going to go where the power of God is setting people free. So be encouraged. I hope I don't come across too harsh. I love every one of you, and I love your families. And, you know, we've all got family members and loved ones that we want to see saved, and they are coming. But we are going to be a conquering people. It's God's good pleasure to give us all these good things. So I just couldn't hold that back. I love y'all.
Amen, George. I agree 100%. Praise God. I believe it too. I believe that our prayers will be answered. Whoever you've been praying for is coming in. You just need to rest in that. And he's right, and violently. Well, I'll tell you what. What God's fixing to do is, we can't comprehend the power that he's fixing to unleash upon his people to bring in this great revival that's fixing to happen. 2 Corinthians 3:18, y'all heard David say this thing a lot. I don't know how many times he quotes this thing, but it's a lot. He said, "But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are transformed into the same image from glory to glory, even as from the Lord the Spirit." And that's what we're going to see here in the days to come. We're going to see a lot of people walking around like Jesus. Woo, glory to God. And when one of these people walk into a church that God has told them to go into, everybody in that church is going to come down. It's going to come into the kingdom. I believe it. I believe stuff like that's going to happen all over this world. Because of the faithfulness of God's people. Did you have something, Pat? Okay. All right, anybody else? You know, I often quote John G. Lake, but he was such a man of faith that it just astounded me how he operated. And he always operated in the Spirit. He didn't operate under John G. Lake. He operated in the Spirit always. He said the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus is what that kept him going. And that's the way we ought to be. All right. Anybody else got anything you'd like to share about? Leon, you had something you wanted to share about last week. Is that something you want to do?
No, Michael, it's pretty long, so I'll wait and do it.
Okay. Yeah, that's fine. Anybody got anything else they'd like to talk about or comment on? You know, I was in a Baptist church when I first started out. I didn't know any better. You know, I thought Baptists, there's a bunch of them around, they must have something. So I waltzed into that church from a friend of mine, a one-armed friend of mine that kept bugging me about going to his church. And after I was there for a while, I had a couple of dreams about that church. And I believe they were straight from the Lord because they came true. And it didn't come true the way I thought it would, of course, you know. But the dream was that I saw the congregation lined up around the outside edge of the sanctuary, and they were all waiting to get prayed for and to receive the Holy Spirit. Then all at once, the Holy Spirit came in there and just zapped everybody. Everybody just got filled with the Holy Spirit. And I told the pastors this after the Lord told me that he wanted me to leave. And I told him that, and I asked him, I said, is this somewhere that you might be taking this church? You know, it's a large church, probably 700, 800, 900 people in it. And I had related to him some of the experiences I'd had on the streets, you know. And he said, Michael, I believe every word you say is the truth. He said, but that's just not my ministry. Talking about the Holy Spirit was not his ministry. And I thought to myself then, oh my goodness. But what happened, about a year later, this pastor's daughter got married to a full gospel guy. Praise God. And daughters called daddy to come to a revival that they were having. And the power of God hit that preacher, slammed him to his floor, stuck him to the floor, and started babbling in tongues, and he tried to take it back to the Baptist church. Now, this is a $90,000 to $100,000 position that this man had. But he loved God more than he loved the money. And I always thought that the man loved God. I just didn't understand him denying the Holy Spirit. It was just because of ignorance and his teachings. And I'm telling you, he fought him for a while, and they finally fired him. And it was probably the best thing that ever happened to him. He went out on the streets and started doing street ministry. So, praise God, not getting any money. But anyway, your prayers are, and I prayed for this guy. I kind of liked him. He's a good guy. That was Mitch Tapson. I won't ever forget him. He preached some powerful messages in the Baptist pew. One time he was preaching so good that one of the members jumped over a pew in this Baptist church. Jumped up and went to hollering and jumped over the pew. And I'm sitting over there laughing, having a good time too. And, well, anyway, I stopped. He was good. Okay, anybody got anything they want to pray about before we close out? Let's just pray for the people that we've been praying for in these types of churches. Again, Father, I just lift up all of the people that we've prayed for over the years. Lord, you know who they are. And I'm asking you, when the time comes, when you know it's right, and you know that they'll run towards you, Lord, that you shake them. You shake them and bring them into the kingdom in a mighty way, Lord. I know that you could do that because I've seen you do it. And I'm asking you also, Lord, to put it in our hearts to pray for people out there that really need prayer, because that's how they come into the kingdom, is our prayers. And then you talk to the Lord of the harvest, and he sends people around to bring them in. You know, that's just, we thank you for doing that for all of these people, our family members, friends that we've grown up with, and we want to see into the kingdom of God. You know, I've been praying for one specific fella, and Lord, I know you're going to bring him in. As hard as he is, as hard-hearted as he is, I know you're going to bring him in. And I thank you for it, Father. And I know other people in this fellowship have prayed for other people similar to him. And I know you're going to bring them in because of our faith. We just believe, Lord. We pray it. We kick back and we rest because we know it. It's already done. And that's the faith that you want out of your people. And Father, I thank you that you've gotten us, you're getting us into that place of walking in your footsteps, Father. So that when the time comes, we'll be able to disciple this great, mighty wave of people coming into the kingdom. And I praise you for that, Father, because I know that the the glory, that the anointing that you're going to place on your people is going to give us instant wisdom that only you can give us, Lord. And I praise you for that. And I thank you, Lord, for the times coming. I ask, Lord, that you bless everybody in this fellowship tonight with an anointing of wisdom and discernment to know what to say to the people who ask questions out there in the denominational churches, in the apostate religion, in the religions that have another Jesus. And I praise you for that, Father, in Jesus' name, because I know you're going to do it, Lord. I just know you're going to do it. And I thank you, Lord, for giving us a good night's sleep tonight. And just as we wake up in the morning, Lord, place it in our hearts to praise you immediately and to wish you a good morning, because you deserve it, Lord. I just praise you, Father. You're such a loving, loving God and a gracious God. And I thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Bless all of my brothers and sisters tonight. In the name of Jesus, amen. Well, good night, everybody. Let me turn everybody on. All right.
Good night, everybody.